Well, once again, welcome back to the Ramble Room. Delighted to have you all listening. I am sitting here with Diane. And Joseph and Sarah have taken the night off. They've been out doing a little bit of traveling. And quite frankly, they're kind of bushed. So we're going to let them rest. However, we are delighted to welcome to the Ramble Room none other than Representative Chuck Gray. Chuck is running against Liz Cheney, and we'll be talking with him, I hope, quite a bit over the next many months. Chuck, how are you?
I am great, Ken and Diane. Thanks for having me on the program. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. We are delighted to have you. I guess the first thing I just want to ask you is, who are you? Tell us a little about who you are, how you got involved in politics, and let her go from there.
Well, I'm a citizen who's just really concerned about the direction of our country, and that got me involved in politics in 2014, and joined the legislature, was able to win the primary there and become a member in 2016, and was sworn in 2017, have worked on a lot of conservative issues. I am a conservative across the board and a supporter of President Trump. And that's why I'm running for Congress, because Liz Cheney is not providing conservative leadership for Wyoming. And what she did with this impeachment vote is really disgusting. It's unconscionable. And it's a track record that Liz Cheney has had. And it's time for us to have a conservative representation that represents Wyoming values in the U.S. Congress.
I believe you're absolutely right. And I have to say there are a number of people watchers, legislator watchers here in Wyoming, who consistently have you, if not the number one conservative in Cheyenne, certainly within the top five. And so, folks, if you're listening and you're not familiar with Chuck, Chuck doesn't just, he's not one of those people that goes around and tells you he's conservative and then goes and votes like a rhino. He's the real deal.
Thank you, Ken.
One of the questions that I have is, why would you want to leave Wyoming and go to Washington, D.C.? Are you nuts?
Well, Ken, I'm really concerned about the direction of our country. Liz Cheney has not been providing acceptable representation for our state. And our country is, and our state is under attack by the radical left. And Liz Cheney was the first person in line at Nancy Pelosi's house, eating the $24,000 ice cream out of the gourmet ice cream out of the refrigerator, the first one in line for the left-wing narrative on the impeachment vote, and it has been a track record for her. Our country, you go issue by issue. The radical left with the establishment, the insiders, are destroying our country. We need acceptable representation, conservative representation from the state of Wyoming. So that's why I'm running for Congress.
Well, we wholeheartedly agree with that. I guess the next question would be, you talk about issue by issue, and frankly, it'd be really easy and pretty fun just to sit here and bash Liz Cheney. But beyond that, we want to know what the issues are that Chuck Gray would represent us. What are your hot buttons? What are you interested in? I guess I would summarize it with, what would the first 100 days of your representation in Washington, D.C. look like? What are your priorities? What do you want to achieve?
Well, election integrity is a huge priority for me. I was the lead sponsor on the voter ID bill in the state of Wyoming, which we finally got across the finish line here this year. I've been working on it. It had been a priority since I'd entered the legislature. It was really unacceptable that this was not part of the Wyoming state statutes, a voter ID requirement. We got that done this year. Well, at the congressional level, the radical left is trying to pass this H.R. 1, which would undo voter ID requirements across our country. And you look at what's happening in Maricopa County, where an audit is going on and the left is trying to stop it. An audit of the 2020 results. What do they have to hide? It's very concerning, and it's clear that there are real problems, and just what they're doing on this Maricopa County audit is very revealing. And then you have the COVID issue, where the left is using this and the insiders are using this to create a culture of fear, which feeds into a culture of dependence, which is right in line with what they want. I mean, you saw overnight what they did in handing out these checks and creating this mentality where we're going to have business closures that they put forward. And those business closures created this culture of dependence. It feeds right into what they want. And we've worked on state reforms on this, but at the federal level, it's also awful what has happened there.
Not just a culture of dependence, but a culture of emergency. Everything is a crisis. And in order to address this crisis, we have to suspend normal activities, your normal freedoms, your normal rights, your normal privileges that are God-given, not government-given, have to be suspended. I have to look at this, and not trying to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I have to look at this as a practice run for what are we going to do, for example, with climate change?
Well, that's the other thing. They're trying to shut down all of our industries. You go down the line, coal. They don't want us to have access to markets. They're shutting down coal-fired power plants. They don't want us to have access to markets so we can export the coal through the West Coast of the United States. That's an issue I've worked on quite a bit in the state legislature. Oil and gas, the moratorium, over 50% of oil production in our state and over 80% of gas production is being threatened. Ag, I mean, just look at Colorado. They are going to have an initiative on the ballot, and this is what they're going to try to federalize after they bring it through very liberal states like Colorado. They're going to try to call preg testing an assault upon the animal. I mean, they are going to criminalize routine ranching practices. And you know they're going to try the same thing at the federal level. We've seen that they test stuff, try to inculcate things in these blue states, and then they federalize it. So our industries are under attack. And I haven't seen Liz Cheney. I mean, she writes press releases about these things, but isn't really following through on it. Our attack on our Second Amendment.
Now you're in our wheelhouse.
And look at the pro-life issue. What the left, you know, the Planned Parenthood funding. These are things that insiders have been really colluding with the left and stopping us from getting conservative reforms through the Congress, conservative reforms that are pivotal for our country. And we see this at the state legislature, and it's the same thing in the Congress, where there's this coalition of the left and insiders. And Liz Cheney is part of that insider group.
These conservative reforms, we had a discussion here recently with Representative Chip Nyman, John Baer, Mark Jennings were all sitting in with us. And one of the things that these guys said was it is much easier for us at the state level to enact conservative reforms if the populace in their local communities is more involved, putting themselves on school boards, on planning commissions, and the like. And advancing conservative ideals, it just paves the way for you guys. And then by the same token, if we are able to do that more effectively on a state level, it makes it easier to do it on a national level because we have states leading the way, that's the federalist concept as I see it. I commend you on what you've been able to do here in Wyoming in advancing conservative ideals. How do we go about these conservative reforms on a national level?
Well, it is pivotal for the grassroots to be engaged at all levels. And we see it at the state level, it came out in that interview you're talking about, where that involvement has been pivotal in getting conservative pieces of legislation across the finish line. I mean, I was the lead sponsor in 2017 of the ultrasound bill, which was the first pro-life bill in our state in 3 decades. And there had been a lot of groundwork on that. Representative Bob Brechtel, a great friend from here in Natrona County, had brought that bill, done a lot of great work on it, and we were able to get that through in 2017, and there was just this groundswell of support. I'll never forget the committee meeting on the House side. We weren't sure whether the bill was going to get through, and when we went to that committee meeting, the testimony was 5-1 for the bill, and it just brought the bill through that committee. It was pivotal. I mean, I've seen it in the voter ID legislation I was the lead sponsor on that we got through this last year. That grassroots involvement is so important, and involvement in the campaign. I mean, I want to invite you to come on my website, chuckforwyoming.com. You can learn more there. My number is 251-1372. You can call me and get involved because it's pivotal. But at the federal level, yes, we need to find legislative vehicles and ways to enact these conservative reforms. And they're out there. We just got to get them through the finish line and stop the radical left ones like H.R. 1, like these bills that add to the $30 trillion debt that is mortgaging away the future of our children and grandchildren. It's immoral what the left is doing with this radical increase in expenditure. And we can't let them get away with it. We have to identify it, and then we have to take action at the grassroots level, build the support to stop these bad pieces of legislation and bring the good ones through.
As you pointed out, over the last 3 or 4 years, you've been pivotal in some right-to-life issues and bills. And you're right, for quite a while, we were getting nowhere. And then the ice dam started to break. And I believe in this last session, we actually managed to get 3-4 bills signed to pro-life. And not just that, but the same sort of thing needs to happen in Second Amendment things. It needs to happen in 10th Amendment, in freedom of speech. It needs all of these different things that are becoming more and more an issue because they're constantly under attack. It starts at the local level. And if you can win the local wars, you begin to win the county and then the states and on up to yours. So I think we're on the right track.
Yep. Issue after issue. At the state level, there's been, at the fiscal end, I mean, at the state level, there's been more challenges in getting through conservative reforms. But the spending just continues and continues.
It's an addiction.
In terms of the pro-life issues, we've really gotten some momentum there. We need to continue it. We got through two bills this year that were very important. I was the lead sponsor on one of them that banned the use of state funds for what was happening at the University of Wyoming. It's really disturbing. In the student plan, they were covering elective abortion. I brought an amendment over on the House side on the budget to ban the use of those funds, and that passed last year. But the budget expires at the end of the two-year period, so this year we codified that in statute.
If you had to sum up your career in the Wyoming legislature thus far, and you were going to, everybody has an I love me wall, I have one, and I've got mementos from my military service and other such things. And you were going to put out three accomplishments, the things that you have accomplished since you've been in the Wyoming legislature that you're most proud of over the last 3 or 4 years. What would you put up?
Well, I think the voter ID bill this last year was huge. The ultrasound bill and in 2017, I was the lead sponsor on that one, as well as the voter ID bill. And then this budget amendment I was just talking about to stop what UW was doing and covering elective abortion in their student plan. That was a budget amendment and also statute. Working on Second Amendment bills, co-signing those bills, and also representing conservative fiscal policy. That's a big thing I've been working on, is how do we reduce spending? How do we get that position articulated on the floor? Because it's challenging to get to 31 votes in the House to reduce expenditure. But we at least need to, we need to work to get that across the finish line. But I am proud of the fact that we got that position put forward on the floor. For example, one day, second reading on the budget, there were about 45 amendments on the budget. I brought 9 of them, and all of mine were reductions, while all the other amendments from other members were increases in the budget, I think, aside from one. And all of the reduction amendments were, in the past, had gone down on a voice vote, which I just think is ridiculous. So I get there that day, and I just said, I'm going to call a recorded vote on each of my amendments, because these are reductions, and the people should know how their representatives are voting on basic reductions to the budget. Like one was cutting the 900 series 10%. 900 series is a contractual series where the agencies contract out with outside entities to do things that really they should be doing in-house.
Right, 900 series being an accounting term,
right.
that type of spending, yeah.
Right, right. For outside spending that the agencies conduct. It was an area that has grew a lot during the first decade of the 2000s when the coal bed methane boom was happening and Wyoming state government had a lot of growth in expenditure. So it's an area where there's a lot of fat. And so basic amendments I was bringing, roll called every single one of them. And the insiders put a protest in the journal for me roll calling these votes. I mean, it's astounding. But that's what I'm talking about, that we need to have recorded votes all the time in the Wyoming state legislature.
Yes.
And the fact that that's not happening is very disturbing. On the budget, it's an area I've really worked on, and I'm proud of that work.
Well, we are proud, too. It's about time somebody stood up and said, enough is enough, and thank you for doing that. I've sat into too many candidate forums and heard people spout conservative ideals and promises and then turn around and go to Cheyenne and just do whatever. And, you know, the good-hearted Wyoming people figure we've elected a Republican, therefore he must be doing the right thing. And they go to work and they do their jobs and they take care of their kids and they go about their business and don't really understand what's happening. If you were going to give some advice to the average voter on how to find out what your representative is really about, do you have any advice for that?
At my town halls, I've tried to have sessions where I go through the legislative website and all the recorded third reading votes are there. The digest records as a bill makes its way through the legislative process, each vote that happens. And every bill has to have a third reading recorded vote. Now, amendments, which we're talking about earlier, are not always recorded unless a member asks for that recorded vote. And that is something that I do because they should be recorded. And it's a reform that we need to pass in the Wyoming state legislature. So I think the legislative website, it's there. There's a lot of different scorecards. There's the CPAC, the ACU scorecard. I've scored every single year. I've been there 4 years. I've been on the ACU scorecard, four-time CPAC award winner. There's a Club for Growth scorecard, which is focused a lot on fiscal issues. That was recently released. And there's a lot of others. I mean, there's a lot of different scorecards. And so that's one way as well.
There's no shortcut, though. You've got to become engaged. Diane, you had a question?
I was just wondering if you could explain a little bit. Assume that I don't know anything about what you're talking about as far as what happened in the legislature or how it works. You were saying that you called for roll call vote and that there was some of them registered a protest. What does that mean that they were trying to do?
Well, I mean, they it's recorded in the journal that someone has logged a protest. But the reason I brought that up is it's ridiculous, right? I mean, what is there to protest about being on the record for your votes?
So that's what you're telling me, is that they didn't want anybody to know how they were voting.
The reality is there's a group that doesn't like recorded votes. There's a group that definitely feels that way.
Okay.
And I think it's astounding, really disturbing, because when that public trust, when you're elected, there's a public trust in each of us. And I take that very seriously. And I think my vote should be on the record every single time.
Right.
I
and vote. One thing that we're really trying to do is educate people who have not been listening and watching these kinds of things. And so I want to make sure that we don't assume that anybody knows anything, you know, and just make sure that we explain what it is that you're talking about when you use terms and things like that.
Well, there's a rule in our rules that anyone can record a protest in the journal at any time. Okay. And so what they did is they got up there and just said, we protest this. They protested it. But what's astounding, it was a way to sort of exert pressure to stop it, to try to stop it. And I didn't fall for it. I don't fall for that stuff. I'm a real fighter. But that was a way for them. It's another tactic of the insider group, is to try to exert this pressure, sometimes socially, sometimes through things like the formal protest, to try to stop conservative policy from being enacted or even proposed.
Mm-hmm. We just did a show with a couple of folks, Todd Windsor and David Iverson, and we went through the GOP, the Wyoming GOP platform, item by item, because there's a lot of talk out there saying that the conservative radicals have taken over the party and destroyed the party, and it's only up to rational people to come back and try to pick up the pieces. I'm going to say, for the sake of argument, if they had any legitimate reason to say that, then what you're talking about with open votes and recording precisely how each person votes each and every time would be a way to separate yourself from those who don't do that. So I commend you for being open. I wish a lot of other people were more open. If you're proud of how you're voting, if you're proud of how you're representing your constituents, you want them to know what you're standing for and what you're not.
Our votes should be recorded. Every single time, they should be recorded. And it's a tactic. Are we talking about the real collusion of the radical left and the insider group, which Liz Cheney is a part of? Mm-hmm. One of their favorite tactics to sort of hide what they're doing is to prevent votes from being recorded. And it's a tactic that is repeated at the state level and also at the federal level. So it's something I've seen in the state legislature, but it's at the Congress too. They do voice votes all the time. And one of the things the Freedom Caucus has been working on, if elected, I would be a member of the Freedom Caucus, be joining the Freedom Caucus. They have been asking for recorded votes on all of these left-wing bills that they've been trying to get through the Congress. And because a lot of them in the past have gone through with voice votes or unanimous consent votes with 10 to 15 people on the floor, which is just outrageous.
Excellent. One last topic, and maybe not the last, that would be more up to you than up to us, is education. The Ramble Room tends to believe that education needs to be handled at the lowest possible level. And quite frankly, if I were in your shoes and I got elected, one of the first bills that I would want to do is to do away with the U.S. Department of Education. The federal government, in my view, has absolutely nothing to do with education, period. Bar none, forget it.
Well, I'm very disturbed about the indoctrination in our schools. I'm really disturbed by that. This 1619 project, this left-wing New York crimes, I call it the New York crimes. this is just, and the scary thing is that they had a map online of the counties where it had been implemented. And there were some in Wyoming, and that's really disturbing to me. I think we need to work on that at the state level to stop that from being implemented. I've worked on a lot of school choice issues over the years. Getting those through have been challenging, but I believe in school choice 100%.
I guess part of my point is we don't need somebody sitting there in Washington, D.C. telling us what we need to teach a third grader. We're pretty sharp out here. We can handle that.
Exactly. And that's unfortunately what bureaucrats like to do. I mean, one of the things that the Congress has done over time, and it's a problem that we've seen in the state legislature too. A lot of the problems that the Congress has are further along than they are at the state level, but they're happening at the state level too, right? Because this collusion between the radical left and the insiders happens at all levels of government, right? So one of the problems has been legislative branches turning over their powers to bureaucrats. We see it at the state level all the time, but it's even further along in the Congress where they just, and this is why the Federal Register with rules is just interminable, and why the rules and regulations that are preventing us from reaching our full potential. We were talking earlier about how the attack on all of our industries is preventing us and our kids, our grandkids from reaching our full potential, just like the racking up of the debt is going to prevent our kids, our grandkids, if we don't stop it, from reaching our full potential. I mean, do you see a pattern here?
Yes.
I mean, because that creates a culture of dependence, and that's what the left wants. And so the turning over of powers over to agencies, unelected bureaucrats that then write rules on every single thing or tell schools or any or businesses what to do. That is a trend at the congressional level, and it needs to stop.
And if you can't get it passed through the legislative process, the next thing you do then is you empower some sort of a bureaucracy to set rules, which become basically like laws that you could never get past any legislature. That's the direction they're headed. And I guess that's one of the reasons why I want to take education as far out of the federal hands as I possibly can, get it back into local governments where parents and teachers, they're the ones responsible for accomplishing this. They're the ones responsible for setting agendas.
The public school system is probably beyond help as far as conservatives go, and that we need to be just working like crazy at the very local level. Towns saying, we're not going to let you tell us what to do anymore. But I don't know if that, you know, how does that translate to U.S. Congress?
Well, I think it translates in believing in that principle that things done locally are done best, and that Congress and the growth of the federal government by the radical left and this coalition of the radical left and the insider group that Liz Cheney is a part of is totally antithetical to that. It is opposed to that idea, because they want to concentrate power because it's easier to get their way when it's concentrated at one place, right? Because they only need to win once,
right?
As opposed to in all 50 states or in every single municipality, they only need to win once, and then they can get their way across our entire country. And so that's one of the strategic reasons why they try to go against that principle.
Very well put. I've never heard it expressed quite that way, and so I applaud that. We've only got a couple of minutes here left, but we'd invite you to kind of sum up what you're about. What can we do if we want to help?
Well, I'm a true conservative, a principled conservative. Invite you to give me a call at 251-1372, 251-1372. Also, go on the website, chuckforwyoming.com, chuckforwyoming.com. You can donate there, sign up to volunteer. There's so many levels to a campaign of this size, and we're building up, and please be a part of that effort. I really invite you, and have really enjoyed being a conservative in the state legislature. Want to bring that conservative representation that represents our Wyoming values to Congress. And so we just announced we have five legislative endorsements from conservative legislators, from Freedom Caucus legislators, because they've seen me in action on the floor, and they know that I don't back down to the establishment, to the radical left, and they've seen that. And that's why, I mean, Representative Jennings from Sheridan County endorsed our campaign. Representative Bear from Campbell County, Representative Nyman from Crook County, Representative Haroldson, and Representative Stivar, Representative Haroldson from Platte County, and Representative Stivar from Laramie County. Conservative Freedom Caucus legislators, all of them. None are insiders, and they're getting behind the campaign because they've seen me in action. They've seen that I don't back down. I call the recorded votes. I stand for the conservative values, and I'm not going to move off that principled position. That position of a real fighter, which is what we need in Congress. Please get involved and contact me and also check out the website.
We'll do that. Thank you, Chuck. It's been great chatting with you. Look forward to several more conversations.